Coming down from Edinburgh today, we couldn't help noticing the beauty of the trees. And autumn has been absolutely wonderful. The weather's been good. In fact, I think it's better than the summer, really, was. And the trees are now turning into their wonderful golds and reds and quite spectacular in their way. And I want to talk to you a little bit about autumn today and the role that autumn plays in our thinking as people and the link between autumn and harvest. Now, I guess you've had your harvest Thanksgiving service, have you?
Yes.
Right, so I'm late. But what I was thinking was that we are very accustomed in this part of the world to associating harvest with autumn. What else would you associate it with? But actually, that's not the case in many parts of the world. And in earlier days, we spent a number of years living in East Africa. And they certainly had harvest, but they didn't really have autumn. Because it's a kind of summer land, Uganda, you know. But what they did have was seed time, a period of growth, and then harvest. So it's rather seed time, growth, harvest that is the constant around the world, rather than autumn and harvest, which is what we're accustomed to here. And we used to have, well, I was going to say fun, but that might be the wrong word, because whenever you planted seed in Uganda, then just a number of, at any time of the year, really, a number of weeks later, it would be harvesting. And I used to conduct a running battle with tomato plants in the tarmac of the drive, because they came up through the tarmac. And it was quite remarkable. You know, you didn't have to wait for harvest at all. But harvest brings its own discipline to bear. You know, if farmers here don't get to the seed time at the right time of year, they probably won't have a harvest at all. So there is a kind of urgency about harvest in this country. And as we've all noted, I think that it's often a particularly beautiful time of year in the autumn. And harvest is a time of fulfillment, isn't it? It's about fruitfulness and satisfaction. Hard work done, hard work rewarded. It's a time of realization of the promise of seed time. And it's a time of golden maturity. But autumn and harvest have inspired the way people think for centuries. And it's reflected in our poems and our songs and in our hymns. The beauty and the importance and the necessity of harvest. The chairman was saying, you know, certain things we depend on. Let me tell you, we depend on harvest. And try this on for size. Here's a poem that you may or may not have learned in school. John Keats wrote a famous poem called Ode to Autumn. And here's the first verse. I have to say, I had to write it down, but see if you remember it. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Close bosom of the maturing sun. Conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run. To bend with apples the mossed cottage trees. Well, that's a poet's take on it, and it's very well said, isn't it? It's quite memorable, season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Then you remember John Constable, the painter. He painted two very famous paintings of autumn. One of them is called The Hay Wain, and the other is called The Cornfield, and they're both in the National Gallery in London. And he was obviously intrigued by the golden light and the golden fields and harvest and so on. And this sense of beauty in autumn, in harvest, is shared by many people around the world. You find it, and it's not just a British thing. You'll find the Germans think the same, and the French think the same, and the Russians think the same, and so on. And then songs. I remember when I was a youth, there was a singer of whom you may have heard. He, and it was a he, was Pat Boone. Have you heard of him? Now that tells you something. And Pat Boone, among others, but he's the one I remember singing this, The Autumn Leaves. There was a song called Autumn Leaves. And it's The Autumn Leaves Drift By My Window. The Autumn Leaves of All Red and Gold. And he sang it very well. And a whole lot of other people have sung it as well. And we find it in our hymns, this reflection on the importance and the beauty of autumn and harvest. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it's fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter and the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. We thank thee, then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer, for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. That's one of the great harvest hymns. Maybe you sang it this year. It'll be no surprise to you that the Bible is full of references to the harvest and to autumn. More than 100, in fact, overall. And here's one of them, and this is a particularly beautiful and powerful promise that we read in the Bible. It comes in Genesis chapter 8. Let me just read it to you. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. As long as the earth endures. It's an integral part of our world. But in the Bible, as well as in our literature and in our songs and so on, harvest means much more than simply reaping the seed that you planted, whenever you planted it. It has a deeper meaning than that. It has a kind of psychological, personal, spiritual meaning. For example, here's John chapter 4. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? These are the words of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, what he's talking about is not really the corn or the wheat or the barley or such things. He's talking about the harvest that God is looking for in the human spirit. Something that is deep within each one of us. And he's saying, the fields ripe for harvest. In Matthew chapter 9, the Lord says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it's the same idea again. The harvest that is the harvest of a spiritual blossoming, a spiritual fulfillment. There's plenty scope for that. But the people who are talking about it and working towards it and promoting it are few. It would be possible just to reflect on these words alone. You see, there is a seed time in God's relationship with men and women. That is to say, when he calls to humanity about something that is deeper and better, it's when he plants a seed within the human spirit that speaks of himself, that speaks of things that are true, that speaks of eternity, And that's like a seed time that's planted in the human spirit. It might be associated with preaching or sharing the gospel, to hear that call of God. And I think there are very few people who do not hear that call. In fact, I'd be tempted to say nobody goes through life without hearing that call. That God is calling. He has planted a seed within you. The question is the seed going to grow? Because what needs to follow after the planting of the seed is a period of growth, not stagnation, not forgetting all about it and walking away from it and crowding it out, but a period of growth. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Him and of ourselves. And then, following the period of growth, comes the harvest. The ingathering. He wants to gather us home, to gather us to Himself. And in a way, as we think of harvest, we realize that it encapsulates the essential principles of the Christian gospel. So it's a very profound business. It is a symbol, if you like, of the way that God deals with men and women. Seed time, growth, harvest. It's an urgent matter as well, because in Jeremiah we read this, that some people reflecting on the harvest said, the harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not safe. We are not safe. There is a matter of urgency here that we need to understand, that when God calls to us, to hear His voice, to heed His voice, to enter into a period of growth and knowledge of who He is as we live our lives, and as our lives move towards their termination, here at least, to have this great hope of the ingathering, the homecoming that's associated with harvest. It's possible to miss it. And it's possible to be repeating what these people said long ago. The harvest is past. Our opportunity to share in the harvest is gone. We've wasted our time. The summer has ended. And we're not safe. We are not saved. We are not safe. And the Bible is teaching us that people who never know God in their lives, who manage to deafen themselves to His call, they are not in a safe place. They are not safe. Now, the Lord Jesus Himself spoke about the harvest a lot. And I would like us to read together, if you have your Bible, we'll read it together. If not, then just please listen. This is a parable that the Lord Jesus told. Now, parables are very important because they are saying that something that you know about is actually reminiscent of something that you don't know about. And it's a stepping stone. It's a symbolic entrance into a piece of understanding that you didn't have before. And the master of parable is the master of metaphor. And the master of metaphor is the master of meaning. And that's our purpose this morning, that we would come to some understanding of what God means in His dealing with folks like you and me. So that's why this parable is important. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read verse 24 through 30. And then a couple more verses. But this is verse 24 anyway, of Matthew 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone, some translations say, while his servants, while everyone, his servants were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Verse 40 says, "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age." That verse makes it abundantly clear that the Lord Jesus is not talking about wheat and weeds only. He's talking about human experience of life. At the end of the age, at the end of my age. And in verse 43 it says, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Seed time. God calling to humanity. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. I well remember the first time, with hindsight now, I wasn't sure at the time at all because I was quite young, but I quite remember the time when I became aware, God conscious. I became aware that God had something to say to me. He was calling to me. Telling me that there was something better and deeper and higher. And it was open to me if I would listen to him, hear what he had to say, pay attention to it. The seed was being planted. And there may well be people here today who have had the seed planted. Someone was telling us just last night about a man in another place, Grangemouth as it happens, who went out for a walk after a service like this, and somebody said to him, "Are you all right?" He says, "Well, I have to make up my mind about what I've heard." You see, the seed had been planted. So what am I going to do about it? God's call to you, planting his seed within the human spirit. And he wants us to go on to follow what he has to say and to grow into him, to get to know him better day by day and experience by experience. And suddenly we begin to realize that all of these experiences that flow through our lives like a fast flowing river, you know, they're all occasions in which God wants to meet us and to teach us what he's like and to change us and to help us to grow, to be more like him, to be more like his son who is like him. These are opportunities, and so some of these opportunities are tough. Some of these experiences are hard, but he wants to take the experience to show his love towards us in order to take us from glory to glory to glory, to teach us something more and more and more. And that, according to the Bible, is really the meaning of life, is to live our lives learning from God every day. And then to know the wonder of the harvest, what it produces in us, and the gathering home, when at last we go home, when we come to understand that this world is not our home. C.S. Lewis said quite memorably, he said a lot of things memorably, but one of them was this: if this world is just all about material things, and there's no real deep spiritual content or meaning in it at all, how is it that I feel so not at home? There is a yearning, it's part of the planting of the seed, that God puts in our heart. There's something within us that says our home's not here. It's deeper, it's further. And so this parable is being taught so that we might think about it and how God may use it. And here's the kind of way it might work. I was speaking with a man a week past Monday, and he told me something of his life experience. Let me share it with you very briefly. He was not raised in a Christian home. There was nobody there talking to him about God or sharing the Bible or praying with him or anything of the sort. It was a decent home. Folks worked hard. They believed in being kind to one another, good parents and so on. As he grew up, he began to take a great interest in things that grow, horticulture and crops and so on and so on. So much so that he went to university and studied these things and became quite expert in the husbandry, I suppose is the word, of crops and so on. He was obviously quite good at it because as the years passed, he held key posts in the Edinburgh Botanic Gardens. Now, I don't know if you've been there, but they're beautiful. And he worked there for a while. And then he got promoted and he went to the Benmore Botanic Gardens near Dunoon, where I think he was quite a senior person. And then he got promoted and he went down to the University Botanic Gardens in Leicester. And then after a while, such was his interest in it all, that he came to home to Scotland again, to the bush, which is just up the road there. And he got involved in research. And the burden of his research was to look into the role of disease and crops, which is a big issue in our world. Crops that are much needed, and they're often attacked by all kinds of pestilence and disease, and there's a big scientific industry engaged in working out how that can be helped. That's what he did. And he managed all of that professional activity throughout his life. I mean, this is what he told me. He got married, he raised a family, and he never made any particular reference to God in his life. And then one day, one Sunday, some friends that they had made invited them to go with them, spend the day with them and go to church with them. So they did. Now he was in his mid-60s by now, so he's not a boy. And he's had a bit of experience of life. And the speaker was speaking about harvest. And talking about God's goodness and providing the necessities of life. And while the speaker was speaking, he was sitting, you know. And he was running a quiet little commentary in his head. And this is the kind of thing he was saying. Well, if God provides the seed time and the harvest, what about the crop pestilence and the diseases? Too polite to say anything. But that's what he was thinking. And he concluded, not for the first time, that the Christian message was too soft and too cuddly for the real world. It didn't really mean much. It wasn't doing a lot of harm. But it doesn't really mean much. Too unrealistic to be true. And so he felt reassured and confirmed in his view that God didn't really matter. So they went home and had a nice meal, and then because they were polite people, they went back to church with their hosts in the evening. And the same speaker began by saying, "I want to talk to you about crop pestilence." So he thought to himself, "Hello." And he said, "You see, there is in the human spirit a pestilence, a disease. And there is an enmity, there is a war going on within the human spirit. And we cannot ever reach our fulfillment and our harvest until that disease is sorted out." Now you can see the relevance of that to this man and his situation. But he said he became so conscious that God was telling him that he needed to grow up and think more deeply about life and about what God was saying. And for the first time in his 66 years, he said, he heard God's call. And he and his wife became Christians. So the seed was planted and he responded to that. And he and his wife began to grow in their knowledge of God. And it wasn't always easy. For a few years later, his wife died in tragic circumstances. But what he was saying is, I like to tell people that knowing God makes a difference in situations like that. It makes all the difference. And there he is. He's not 66 now, he's 85. And he's had 20 years of Christian experience, of Christian growth. That's how it works. And fellowship with God in his life has become the most important thing to him. And so the Christian message is clear. God is seeking a harvest. He wants you to be a fruitful, fertile harvest field. And so he's calling to you to come. Planting the seed, hearing the call, entering into a period of growth, despite the disease that wars against the human spirit, that is evident all around us. Just switch the news on, and it'll all be about that pestilence, in order that we can enter into the harvest. Now let me sum it up for you just in four little references to the Bible. In Mark chapter 3 we read this. Jesus went up on a mountain and called to him those he wanted. He's doing God's work, do you see? He's calling those that he wants. Now he wants you. He called those he wanted and they came to him. And he appointed 12 of them that they might be with him. You see the purpose of the call. The purpose of the call is that they might be with him. It's a call into friendship. It's a call into fellowship. It's a call into come and grow into me. Come and get to know me. That's the call. Have you heard that call? In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, who heard that call, he says this, God is faithful. If you hear the call and follow the call, he won't let you down. He's faithful. And he has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. That's the nature of the fellowship. That's where the call will take you. It will take you into fellowship with Jesus Christ, his Son. And of course we don't know everything when we come. Now that's what the fellowship's about. We're going to learn things that we never knew before. He will teach us as we learn to live with him and walk with him. And what about the pestilence? What about the disease? Well, in Romans, Paul says this. You need to understand this. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's worth repeating. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once we hear the call, the seed is planted and begins to grow. As we begin, we're free of the pestilence. And Paul goes on to say this, because through Christ Jesus, the law of God's Spirit, who gives life, sets you free from the law of sin and death, from the pestilence, from the sin that inhabits the world. And the death of Christ sets you free. And once you allow God's seed to grow within you, this is what you're doing. You're accepting the powerful work of Christ changes you. It sets you free from the pestilence. It's gone. No condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're free to grow. And you're free to grow to a harvest, a homecoming, which you learn to anticipate as you grow older, and which is a hope that is beyond imagining. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 14 to those to whom he had been calling, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That's what we read about at the beginning. That was the whole purpose of the call. That's the whole purpose of the whole business. That we can be with him. Be with him in the beginning. Be with him as we grow. Be with him today and tomorrow. Be with him when you're glad, and be with him when you're sad. And be with him in eternity. I want you to be with me that you may be where I am. And you know the place where I am going. And I want to say, you do, don't you? You know the way, don't you? It's about responding to the call. It's about entering into growth under his leadership and his lordship, day by day. It's about realizing that there is no need for you to be in thrall to the sin that is everywhere in our world, and that the future belongs to him. And the only thing that can never be broken is my fellowship with him and his fellowship with me. That's the Christian message. And in a sense, it's the message of harvest as well. And there is an urgency. There are those who will say, well, the summer has ended. There's been no growth. No seed time, no growth. And the bottom line is this: I'm not safe.